It's our first time doing duet. We don't even sit together on Sunday. We sit in different worship services. And this is a rare opportunity that we treasure, that we can share with you the Word of God and some stories that will reflect the glory of God. I have chosen a title called Search and Rescue. Luke 15:1-7. I don't need to read that passage to you because it's talking about one person has 100 sheep and he loses one. So, suppose a sheep owner has 100 sheep and loses one of them. He leaves the 99 and searches and rescues the lost sheep. And this is the spirit of evangelism. I went through a list of top 50 dangerous cities in the world last night. And I found that, hey, four of them, we frequent these cities. We either stop by these cities or stay there, work there, have our ministry there. But when I think of being in the protection of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. And we are just following the footstep of Jesus Christ. Because in the Bible it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to search and rescue. He came to this world. This is a dangerous world. He knew about that. And he came. And he was killed. He didn't care about the crime rates of this world. He came because he has one mission, is to search and rescue. And so we did. We went to dangerous city, but God allowed us to enjoy his protection. We came home safely every time. Thank God. These are the Bible passages that we have chosen in our phrasal and core values. One of them is Luke 8:1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. It's discipleship. He's bringing his students with him so that they could observe and learn. And one day when the rabbi is gone, they know exactly how to reach out to people. So Jesus traveled from one town to another. Those could be dangerous cities. But he went anyway because he has one mission, is to search and rescue. He tried to reach everyone. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 is, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All people, every single one, are included. 2 Peter 3:9, something similar. The Lord is not slow to keep his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Every single person he wants to find, search, and rescue. So we are talking about reaching the lost people locally and globally. And the Spirit is, our target is every single person who is not saved. Some could be just around your neighborhood. Maybe you see them every day. Some, maybe you need a passport, fly a few hours to reach out to them. We are messengers of God. We have a job to do. We are passing out invitation to every single person in this world. We're giving out invitation. Sometimes we just do it in our neighborhood. Sometimes we go a little bit beyond our comfort zone. So Molly is going to share with you her recent trip and some of her experience in short-term missions. So Molly will continue on.
I'm thankful for my Faisaland family who support me in prayer, in words of encouragement, in finance, in donating shoes, clothing, knitting scarf, baby blankets for me to bring to Copper Canyon this past month to serve the Tarahumara tribe there. And also thank those who fed my husband that he won't get hungry while I was away. I'm a fruit of the CNMA Global Mission Ministry in Hong Kong. When I was young, my non-Christian parents then enrolled me and my siblings to the CNMA elementary school, and that was my school. And from there, I learned about God, about that He's the only Savior to save me from my sin and give me eternal life. So from there, I believed Christ, and I got baptized when I was 12 years old. It's a very famous and also familiar story from the Bible, Esther. So Esther was put to the position of being the queen of kings Xerxes in Persia, right? And he has a comfortable, very luxurious life, and he can get whatever she wants. But her uncle Mordecai speaks to her of the needs of her people, the Jews, and people who are helpless, people who are dying, facing death. Mordecai urged her to do something about it, to save his people, and told her that she put into such a position as a queen is for this moment. And if she doesn't do anything, God can use someone else to do it. Esther is willing to take up the risk, and she left her comfort zone, and she, first of all, she asked her people to pray together with her, and then she went to the king, and after all, we know the end of the story, that the Jews were being saved. We are like Esther, and we all have God give put us in the North America for a moment of reaching to the lost. God gives us a lot of rich resources, and we can do a lot of things, and we have a lot of potentials. But we also have a Mordecai in our life. Our Mordecai is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit promised to us to urge us to challenge us to respond to His call, to leave our comfort zone, and to take action, and to save the lost soul. The moment of reaching out to the lead, those who will die eternally without the salvation of Christ. And it's our privilege to be called and to co-work with God in His saving plans. And if we do not respond to His call, God can call other people, and we will lose our privilege. And we may think, oh, what can I do? Right? What can I offer to God? Just like Moses, when God called him to save the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, in the land of Egypt. But he said, what can I do? How can I go to Pharaoh, right? But God told him that I will be with you. It is I who have sent you. And also for Gideon, he was so timid, but God called him the mighty warrior, and God told him that, and I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Well, in John 9:6-7, Jesus, she used the insignificant mud and mixed with his saliva and healed the blind man. And even though the mud doesn't worth anything, but because Jesus willing to use it, and he has the power to heal, to restore sight. And for us, well, even though we may not be significant, not the mud only, but we are willing to be used by Jesus. Jesus can transform us to make us as an important agent to restore the spiritual blindness of people. And as a result of the mud being used by Jesus, many of the people accepted Jesus and received him as this, get to know him. So we can be the mud too as well. I'm an introvert. I don't like to speak in front of people. So this is the first time I ever speak in front of such a big crowd. But for God's glory, I'm taking my courage. I don't feel at ease when I'm in a big crowd of people, strangers. I don't like to live in a rustic place and unsafe territory when I don't know what the future is. I want to be in control. But 2 years ago, when I heard of the oppression, the oppression and the darkness and the urgency of Christ in Copper Canyon. Copper Canyon is 7 times the size of Grand Canyon, so you can imagine how big it is in Mexico. So my Mordecai, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and urged me to reach out to the people there. But it was not an easy decision for me to make to go. And then think of, wow, there's a lot of the whole land of Grand Canyon, of Copper Canyon, is all drugs. It's a lot of cartels, and they have their own territories you cannot pass through. If you pass through, they will check you out. And 5 minutes for the orphanage that we're supposed to go is a grow-up already. So it was not an easy decision for me to make, and people have to tell me, oh, it's very dangerous. You have to think about it before you decide to go. But because the urge of the Holy Spirit, and I'm willing to take my step of faith, and I start to go, I'm willing to go. So 2 years ago, I went with the Coquitlam Alliance Church with the 13 ladies of us. We went to have our first ever women's ministry group there. As I look back, I have no regret, but thank God for calling me to go. And that's why this year, I went back again. As I see how God worked in the canyon, how people's life changed for the better because of gospel, I thank God for he has not forgotten the lost people there. Jesus set the example of being compassionate and taking action to care for the physical need of the people when he preached the gospel. So he healed the sick, he raised the dead to life, he fed the hunger. And Jesus reached out to offer help to those there who have physical needs. So in our ministry, so we can see how we can also follow Jesus' example. In Middle East, there are lots of hard labor workers from villages in China, working with very low incomes, very low wages. It's like less than $100 US a month. So life is very difficult for them. When they attend church in the Middle East, a lot of times they walk 2 hours, 3 hours there. So when we went to Kuwait to to serve in, with a short-term mission, we encounter a lot of these workers. And the church that we serve with, they will not let the people go home hungry. So after the service, they will provide them with food and box meals that they can have food to eat before they have to walk a long journey home. And these workers, when they heard about Jesus, when they become Christians, and when they go back home to China, they bring the gospel back to China. So if there's no church in Kuwait in Middle East, and to care to of them physically, spiritually, the workers won't be able to have contact with Christ, and they won't be able to bring the gospel back to China. And that's 1 year when we were in Kuwait, it was Chinese New Year. So there's a family, Christian family, they fed the Chinese workers. Many of them went to their house. It seems that it's not a nice big house, it's a small place. But the wife and the kids and the husband, they make thousands and thousands of dumplings and feed them to celebrate Chinese New Year with them. And man, you know, they can eat a lot. Some of them can eat more than 50 dumplings. So with the kindness the couple showed to the workers, people are willing to continue to come to listen to the gospel. And when our women mission group went to Copper Canyon to minister to the Tarahumara, a land of poverty, we bought lots of clothes and shoes, blankets, necessity items, food to give to the people. And people and the tribes are dying in the canyon. So, and it's in the news in Mexico as well. So it is very hard for people to listen to your sharing of Christ when they do not have food to satisfy their hunger, clothes to keep them warm. And so these are some of the women that we ministered to. When we conduct a women retreat, one of the exciting moments is for us to do the latest manicures. Women in the society has no protection from men, so they are barely treated. Men believe that they need to beat up their wife at least twice a month to get them to be obedient to them. So we are so lucky here, all the wives here. So on their faces, you can see all the bruises and the cuts, and there's not much emotion expression on their faces, and life is very tough for them. And men will just do anything they like to with women, and they can grab a woman, get a girl, and they do whatever they want to with them. Work is very hard work at home for the women too. Your husband, they get drunk and they beat up the wife, the kids, and also they will just disappear for days or weeks. And the wives have to be home to look after the family. And also their hands, that's why it's very rough and very dirty, because there's no water, is very scary in the canyon. So when we did their fingers, the manicure, so we cleaned their hands, we massage their hands, we put nail polish on their hands, and then when they wave and blow their fingers to make the nail polish dry faster, you can see the contentment, the smile on their face, that they see that they are valuable. People are willing to touch them, to give them a hug. And through the testimony that our members share with the ladies of our brokenness, of our difficulties, of our hardships, of how they deal with the abusive relationship, it really encouraged the women that as we trust in Jesus, we can find comfort, peace, strength, stability, security, and shelter. Even though we have language barrier, because when we speak to them, when we want to communicate with them, we speak in English, and then it translates into Spanish, and from Spanish it translates into Tarahumara. So it takes a long process for a message to go through them. But when we pray individually over them, and we can see tears comes down on their faces, on their eyes, and also on our eyes too as well. You see that language is not a barrier at all when we are one in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit unites us together, we are one in Him. And also after we pray over them, and some of the ladies came over to us and they pray over us to bless us as well. It's a beautiful pictures of how the fellowship of Christ is together. And we taught them how to do chicken dance, square dance, and make a lot of laugh, and even though the steps are so awkward, but it's so much fun. And we give them distribute shoes, blankets, clothes, and it's like a Christmas shopping for them. Because in the canyon, there's no shops at all. You can buy anything. And so everything is from outside. And of course, we have a piñata time, and we give them food. So with all that we do, even though it's not much, but to them it's a big thing, because it's seldom people will want to show their affection to these ladies. And nobody wants to hug them, nobody wants to spend time on them. So we thank God that we have this opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. And this is the 2 years ago, the Canadian Alliance Women Ministry raised $150,000, to build a women's shelter and clinic just at the top of the orphanage. And I got to have visit the place, the site there. It's not finished yet. It takes maybe another year to get it finished. There are women who got abused and who are sick, and the children can come to this shelter and clinic to get treatment, to get refuge. But we need workers, we need medical personnel there to operate the whole clinic. It's very hard for people that willing to go, because there's nothing there. Everything is depend on solar power, and then a day with not much sunshine, and you may not get power. And it's just some of the evenings that we have to work totally in the dark and depend on a headlight. So, and there's not even a radio. And so it's very hard for people to be willing to dedicate, to commit to go there. So we can pray and see, even though there's a place, facility there, but we need short-term, long-term workers to minister there. Okay, this is orphanage, and it's built at the bottom of the canyon. It's 5,000 feet below the canyon. And it's built along a small river. That's why it gets power, there's water to use. And it's a lighthouse in the canyon, because people go there and for a lot of their needs. And Pastor Thomas is the founder of the ministry in the canyon, and he and his team, for the past over 20-some years, they've been going to different tribes, different corners of the canyon, by horse, by donkey, by walk, by car, because there's a lot of places are still no road to reach. That's why when we went, some of the places we need to hike to reach the people. With their dedication, after 20-some years, even the people has been isolated from the outside world for 400 years, and they reject the outside world, they reject the outsiders. But because they see the sincerity, that these people come to help them, to do them good, that's why they receive them gradually and get their trust. And Pastor Thomas and his team, besides sharing the gospel, he also teach them how to do farming, how to raise dog, cats, pigs, chicken, whatever, that they can have some thing to sustain their lives. So in the orphanage, it's called Orphan and Boarding School, because with 110 kids that living there, some are orphans, of course, without parents. Some are abandoned by their family because food is very short there. The family, the parents usually is not like our North America parents. They would want to feed themselves first, and then with any food left over, they would give to the kids. So when they have no food, the kids will go hungry. So the orphans ask the family to bring their kids to the boarding school, and then they'll get shelter, they get food, they get education, and the weekend the kids can go back home. And some kids are being abused, that the orphanage take them in. Without education, the kids cannot get out of the canyon. That's why education is very important there. And there's a man who used to be hated by many people. And after he turned to Christ, he made a 360-degree turn, change from being a raper to women and girls, and being mean and cruel to people. He now witnessed for Jesus, and he's no more drunk and no more doing evil things, but he share and take care, look after people, so we can see him in our service on Sundays. And also, we can see the change of people because of the work of Pastor Thomas and his team, that men who believe in Jesus, they no more beating up their wife, their children. They learn to respect, to honor, to take care of them, and they won't just disappear from their family anymore. So, and people that who learn about God through the orphanage, there's one father that the son lived in orphanage, and then when he went home to talk about Jesus with the family, the father believed in Jesus, and now he's a pastor and reached out to his own people. So committee changed because of the gospel, because of the Christians from outside the canyon go there to love them, to embrace them. And there's one community that we need to hide to. So 99% of the residents become Christian now. And there's just one family still non-Christian. And when this family want to have a party, and he had to go to another community to invite friends to go, because all these Christian families, they don't want to go for a worldly party anymore. So we can see the change that God make because of ministry there. Pastor Thomas is the one that next to me, and he has a big heart for the people in the canyon, and also he's the president of Mexico CNMA, our denomination, and he's a very busy man, and he has four churches to take care of in Juarez, which is 20 hours from the canyon. But he still goes there as much as he could, maybe twice a month with his group. And when he's there, he trains the leaders to strengthen and to encourage them. When we are there, we also do children program, BBS, kids church, and kids are so eager to learn. And kids have no nothing outside the canyon. So that's one of the lessons. I showed them a seashell. So we all know seashell, right? But none of the kids know what that is because they have never see any sea, ocean. All they can see, the only water is the tiny little creek that run along the orphanage. So what they know is very limited, but they have eager to learn. And they love being hugged. And sometimes you see the runny nose, the dirty hands, the smelly smell from their body. But you see how much they want to be loved that you will not resist to hug them, to let them sit on your lap and have a good time. And so the kids get a lot of blankets and stuffs while we were there. And even though playing bubble is a big thing for them, and they can play hours and hours with bubble, and just one small balloon, they can play for half a day. I gave them a balloon, each of them a balloon. They use it for different ways of playing it, water balloon, balls, whatever. So thing is, so they don't have any toys, any games, and no TV, no video, no Game Boy, no whatever gadgets, right? But life, even though it's simple, but because the love that they receive in the orphanage, they satisfy that. And they have. So in John 20, 21, 22, Jesus said that peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. So we just pray that we all will be courageous to listen to our Mordecai, the Holy Spirit, wherever he calls us to minister locally or in the foreign land, that because the Holy Spirit can empower us. And it's not, we don't go out by our own strength, by our own might, but by our almighty God.
God is working in Kenya. God is also working in Vancouver. God is changing people's life. It all depends on us to search and rescue, deliver the invitation to these people. For many years, VCAC and Fraserland Church combined, we have Chinese evangelism training. It's called Evangelism Exposure 3. Sometimes we call it EE3. This is a very good training, 13 weeks of lecture, demonstration, memorizing Bible verses and the techniques. And also the beauty is visitation. Visitation is our on-the-job training. So a lot of people from the Chinese congregation has received this training. We try to deliver invitation. And I remember one time, February 14, Valentine's Day. That was a snowy evening. And we were thinking about whether we should continue to go and do visitation or we just go home because it's a terrible weather. We went anyway. A man came to Christ, and this man called me 24 hours later. He said, "Paul, did you know that tonight we say grace together at the dinner table, together as a family?" Now, what's the big deal? We do that every day, every meal, right? We say grace. But to this family of four, three already saved, and they were anxiously waiting for this man, the husband and father, to come to Christ. And finally, he came to Christ on a snowy Valentine's night. And finally, that evening, four of them together say grace to give thanks to God at the dinner table. Now, this may not be something interesting in your family, but to this family, it's so important. So we deliver invitation. reaching lost people locally and globally. We have Kwok Wang and Cecilia. They came to this church about 15, 16 years ago from another church. They started to receive EE3 training. They were very burdened to reach the lost soul. So they helped me a lot in reaching out to the unsaved. And then they came with me to Guatemala first time, 2003. And then every year, they joined a short-term mission team because they were hooked. After one time, they couldn't stop. And then 5 years later, they became CNMA, self-funded missionaries going to El Salvador. They spent 6 years there, planted a new church, a Chinese church in El Salvador. All because they came to personal evangelism training. And then followed by short-term mission. So they reached the lost soul locally and also globally. That's a beautiful story that I want to share with you. Because of poor health, they have to return to Vancouver. 10 months ago, I asked this question. Who was Ezra Edward Kimball? He was a Sunday school teacher. He reached out to his student and shared the gospel with D.L. Moody. And then D.L. Moody became an evangelist. And his ministry affected Billy Sunday, who was the Major League Baseball star at that time. And then he became a preacher and he had his ministry. His ministry affected Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham's ministry affected and brought William Graham to Jesus Christ. And you know him, Billy Graham. All because of Mr. Kimball, who cared enough to share Christ with a 17-year-old Moody. And then one thing after the other, we know the result is beyond imagination. This was a very good story. But here we have story in our church. Someone called Fiona. She may be sitting somewhere in this house. She came to EE training, and then she was cared enough to reach out to a friend from school, SFU friend. And this person came to Christ eventually, and then she became a disciple. She was involved in church, and then also came back to EE training. It was exciting to see someone you share Christ and got saved and came back to be a fisher. So she came to training, and one day she and I were able to bring her high school friend to Christ. And then a few years later, she joined Youth Unlimited, working under Elder Tombert in Richmond School District. And she also recently married a pastor and have a kid of their own. You see, those arrows are influence. She became someone who has influence. All because of Fiona. I want to see more Fiona in this house, in this church. You reach out to your friends, your loved ones. Sometime you cannot imagine. Maybe Billy Graham will be coming along somewhere down the line. I close with a children's story. A beautiful princess. She was supposed to kiss the flock. And then the flock will become Prince Charming. Remember the story? When you go home tonight, you found your room is filled with flocks, 100 of them. And someone told you one of them is a prince. What do? You open the window and kiss every single flock. Not this one, throw it away. Until you kiss someone that will change his life. I hope this story will help you. When you leave this century, go out and kiss someone. You know what I mean. Bring good news to people so that their lives can be changed. Let's pray. Father God, we heard stories, we heard testimonies, we heard what you have been done, have been doing, and you also change our lives so that we can help other people to change their lives. May you send us with the Holy Spirit so that we'll be empowered, we'll have boldness, and you will create opportunities for us to share Jesus Christ. Help us so that we can kiss someone, change their lives for the sake of your glory. In Christ's name, amen.